անգոր եւ որդվո եւ հոգուին սրբո ամեն Many years ago, when I was much younger and I was a teenager, I got lots of speeding tickets. I got lots of tickets for lots of things, but I got one speeding ticket in particular, and I decided not to tell my father about it. I thought that I knew everything, as most teenagers do, and I decided that it would be better if I don't tell him, because he'll never find out. And then everything will go on with life. And a couple of days later, we were watching a TV show, I remember, and in this TV show, the same thing happened. A young man got a speeding ticket and decided not to tell his father what was going on. And we watched it, and later on, naturally, in the TV show, the young man confessed, or the father finds out, and there's a very, very great punishment that happens after that, and a lesson that is learned in all of this. But I remember when I was watching this TV show with my father, I was thinking to myself, does he know what's going on? Does he know what's really happened? Is God trying to give me a sign here? And I remember being so nervous and so uncomfortable and so much sweat was pouring down my face that maybe my dad knows and he's just waiting for me to say something. Ultimately, he finds out. I didn't tell him, and ultimately he found out through the insurance, and it was not good, I can tell you that. But what ends up happening is when we see stories and we hear stories that we can relate to, we sometimes think that they are about us. We sometimes think that this story, whatever it may be, is specifically about my situation and my life. And this happens all the time. But especially in today's gospel reading. And today's gospel reading is very true because we hear about this feast, this banquet that a man has prepared, God has prepared, and people start to come up with excuses why not to attend. And we sometimes can relate and say, I've been in that situation, especially when it comes to church. The church fathers explain that this great banquet that is in this parable today is an allusion to the holy sacrifice, to the divine liturgy, to the Vadara that we celebrate every Sunday. And they say that in this parable there are four characters, four people who are in this entire parable. The first are those guests that were originally invited to come to the feast, but they made up excuses why not to come. And we hear this many times in our life today. Some of us have been in that spot, myself included, where we are invited to come to the divine liturgy and we say, no, I'm busy. I have other priorities. It's too far. I'm tired. It's my cleaning day for my house. I have laundry to do. I have to prepare meals. I don't know anyone there, so why should I go? Or my friends aren't there because they're on vacation, so I'm not going to go now. We come up with many, many excuses why not to go to church, why not to participate in this feast. The second character in this story are the guests that are invited and they come. The ones who were not first on the list. The ones that were found in the streets and in the lanes, in the highways and in the hedges. People who do not think they are worthy to come, yet they are still invited. Those that have been injured and are lame and are blind, but they still are invited when they come. And we have many of those people in our community. They don't have to be physically injured, but emotionally and spiritually injured. And they say, I don't want to go. I'm not worthy of going. Because of all the things that have happened to me in my life. But still God invites them. Still God goes out and says, no, I want you in this. Because the others are not coming, so I'm going to invite you instead. The third character is the host. And we sometimes think that the host is Dehai. The host is the parish council. The host is not Der Hai, the host is not the parish council, the host is God. He invites each of us to be part of this. He invites all of us to come and be part of this meal that he has prepared. But the fourth, and the one that's often overlooked, is the servants that go out and compel, force people to come to church, come to this meal. We are the ones, or they are the ones, and I'm alluding that we should be these people too. They are the ones that go out and tell people, this is what's going on in church. This is what's happening. We want you to be here. God wants you to be here. Come to the church. This is what we want, and this is what God wants. And they become the instruments of God. Look at how many people are in the church now, and look at how many people are in the hall now. We need to take on this responsibility, very crucial responsibility, of bringing people to church. Okay? And to bring people to church, we have to have the specific, you guys can sit wherever in the front rows. When we bring people to church, right, we have to have a very specific virtue when approaching people. And that virtue is mercy. Come, sit. I will interrupt my sermon if you stand there. We need to have mercy. What is mercy? When we hear the word mercy in English, we think, oh God, please don't kill me. Please don't harm me. Please don't hurt me. That's not what mercy is in the Armenian sense. The Armenian word for mercy is bohon mutyun. Bohon mutyun. And it comes from the Armenian word bohon, which means flat. It means flat, it means smooth, it means level, it means without hindrance. And so when we say, Lord, have mercy, we are not saying, Lord, don't kill me, don't destroy me, don't hurt me, don't punish me for my sins. But when we say, Lord, have mercy, we're saying, Lord, smooth my path. Make it so that there are no obstacles in my way, so I can approach God and I can approach you easily. This is what it means. This is why we say when we give someone in Armenian the word for almsgiving, the one for helping the poor, we say bohor mutun gudan. We say we give them mercy. And we give them mercy why? We're trying to help them along their way, along their spiritual path. When we also say that somebody has passed away in the Armenian church, we say bohor maz, right? Bohor maz, whatever their name is. They've already had a smooth path and they've already made it to God. There's nothing in their way anymore. So when we go, if you guys are wondering what I'm talking about, we're talking about, my sermon is about how we need to be bringing people to church, how we need to make them come to church, and we need to help them understand why to be here in church. Because in today's gospel reading, they talk about inviting people and people making up excuses why not to come to church. And I'm sure we all have excuses why not to come. One of the top ones on the list is laundry. Getting the laundry, cleaning the house. But I tell you this. When people say, I can't come to church, or I'm not able to come to church, it's up to us to try and convince them. It's up to us to bring them to church. It's up to us to convince them. As the gospel says, compel. Compel them. Stipel. Force them to come to church. Yege. Amen. Yege, this day. If they say I'm too busy, look at me, don't look at them. You'll see them later. Okay? If they say I'm too busy, we put an emphasis on the importance of how important church is. There is, as I said in Armenian, there's always going to be laundry to do, and there's always going to be God. But which one is going to save you? I guarantee you, laundry is not going to save you. Cleaning your house is not going to save you. Okay? These things are not important. They're temporary. God is eternal, and he is here for you and waiting for you to participate in his liturgy, in his meal. If they say it's too far away, Maybe that's our opportunity to go and pick them up and bring them to church. Or find someone in that area who can come to church with them. Or if they say it's unfamiliar, I don't know anybody at church, we say, you know me, and I will be there. And I will introduce you to people in the church. I will get you to know people in the church and get to be familiar with them. This is what we're called to do. So often when we hear the Gospels, we relate to them and we hear ourselves in them, like today's Gospel. But in today's Gospel, there are those three roles. The first role, or I should say four roles. The first role is God who invites us. And the other roles, the ones who reject the invitation and say, I have other things to do. The ones that accept the invitation, right? And say, I'm not worthy to come, but all right, I will come to church. And then the third group are the ones that go and bring them in. The ones who say, I don't know you, but there is a God who does, and there's a community that wants to. Come and we will get to know you. So many people on their spiritual journey need that. So many people on their spiritual journey need mercy. Vohor mutyun. And again, remember, vohor mutyun does not mean I'm better than you, so I'm going to help you. Vohor mutyun, again in Armenian, means I am going to smooth the path out for you. Vohor, right? I will smooth the path out for you and bring you to God. And whatever obstacle is in your way, whatever it may be, I am here to help you come to church. I am here to help you be part of a community, to be part of a family, and to be part of the body of Christ. And if I can't do that, I will find someone who can. And if we can't do that, then we are not Christians. That is what Christians do. Christians are in the business of three things. Forgiving, loving, and connecting people with Christ. If we cannot do these, the first two are very hard, I know, especially for Armenians. But the third one we are all good at doing is connecting people. I know someone who, and we fill in the blank, or my brother or my uncle or my whatever knows this or that. No. That's what we are called to do. So today, as we leave here, in a little bit, and you guys see Santa Claus, right? Santa's coming today. As we go, I ask and I pray and I encourage, I implore and I compel you, bring people to the church. Invite them to come. I know you're not able to come every Sunday, and I understand that. But the more often that you come, the more you get to know God. The more you get to know God, the more you become like God. And the more you become like God, the more you can be called a Christian. Amen.